Well, his fans had hoped that Michael Jackson would have been buried in his ranch of Neverland, that sprawling land territory in Santa Barbara County in California. Covers 18,000 acres. That's about 11 square kilometers. It was bought by Michael Jackson in 1988, and he named it Neverland after that fantasy island in Peter Pan. You know, Peter Pan, the boy who would not grow old. Well, as it turned out, the story proved too much of a fantasy. In 2005, Michael Jackson transferred the title to another company as part of a settlement of suits that he was facing. Well, you have here the story is that of someone who had it all and still was very empty inside. And it proved his undoing. And of the rumors circulating, we are told that Michael Jackson was begging for something to make him sleep. Well, to some extent, I have my sympathy. I know what it means not to be able to sleep. But there he had everything one could enjoy in life, and he could not sleep. Well, this will prove very much like the exploration of the man of Ecclesiastes in quest of that which will give sense to life. And here sa pag-aaral natin ng Ecclesiastes, itinulad natin ito sa isang jigsaw puzzle. At yung jigsaw puzzle, para malutas mo, kinakailangan alam mo yung final picture. And I suggested that the final picture of Ecclesiastes is that of a preacher preaching to an assembly of men and women, each of whom has his or her bouts of sorrow. And the preacher is giving or imparting wisdom for their bouts of sorrow. And besides that, we also looked at the key word in the book. The word in Hebrew is hebel, which is translated as vanity. I suggested that before 6:12, vanity takes the meaning of brevity. And from 6:12, it adds on the idea of mystery. So there you have the idea of brevity and mystery combining together to give us a sense of life. Yung diwa ng buhay, kinakailangang tingnan natin sa katotohanan ng kaiklian nito at ng hiwagang bumabalot dito. At sa unang-una pa lamang ng pagsasaliksik nitong Ecclesiastes, tiningnan na niya ang buhay ng tao sa comparison ng permanenteng mundo, and he saw how brief a generation is. Given that as the lifespan of a single life, how brief it is compared to the permanence of the earth. And so we said, without God, a generation seems so brief to make an impact on the ongoing cycle of life. And then the preacher begins his quest, and in true style of wisdom literature, he highlights the place of wisdom. But then his words are mixed. He acknowledges the value of wisdom, but then even wisdom smashes on this dead-end wall called death. And he said, how does the wise man die? Just like the fool. And we said that without God, the brevity of life seems to render wisdom no better than folly. Now from wisdom, we follow the quest of the book of Ecclesiastes, and it turns to something else. I invite you to turn now your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We'll read the first 11 verses. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1 to 11. Mula sa karunungan, ano ang hinanap ng Ecclesiastes? Chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is madness. And of mirth, what does it accomplish? I search in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity. In grasping for the wind, there was no profit under the sun. Just turn to one more text, this time outside Ecclesiastes, but I think it is a very fitting summary of what he has been saying. Proverbs 14 and verse 13. Proverbs 14 and verse 13. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. Well, here the writer or Ecclesiastes is going to follow a new tack, a new path he will try. And he summarizes it in the words, let us try mirth. He made a policy shift in life. You can summarize it in two words. He said, enjoy pleasure. So ito ngayon ang kanyang susubukin. Nakita niya, sinubok niya yung karunungan. He became a scholar. He went into the best libraries of that time. He became a true expert in many fields of knowledge. And he saw that even if wisdom had the advantage, how does the wise man die? He said, just like the fool. So he tries another tack. Let's try pleasure this time. Change of lifestyle. From the scholar who spent his time in libraries to a hedonist, a pleasure-seeking libertine, in grand style at that. And he determined that nothing will be spared. If it is deserving of the name pleasure, he will have it. But then, just like his quest for wisdom, the wise man's or the Ecclesiastes' quest for pleasure smashed on the same dead-end wall. Let me draw this message. Without God, all the pleasures of life will prove shallow and not a substitute for genuine joy. Kung walang Diyos, lahat ng kasayahan sa buhay ay magpapatunay na mababaw at hindi hahalili sa tunay na kagalakan. Without God, all the pleasures of life will prove shallow and not a substitute for genuine joy. And this is a relevant message to all of us because we all desire something to make us happy. The quest for happiness, in fact, was put by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence as among the inalienable rights of man. Isa sa mga hindi maitatanggal na karapatan ng tao ay yung karapatan niyang maghanap na maging masaya, maligaya sa kanyang buhay. It's an inalienable right. But let me tell you this. Man, Ecclesiastes, at least in the way he describes his exploration, he will qualify for what used to be called as a show on TV, lifestyle of the rich and famous. Talagang nagpakasasa. Siguro yan tamang salitang gamitin dito. He was lavish. He was wasteful. And yet, when did it all come to for all the lavishness? His conclusion was, surely, this also was vanity. And I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? A ring of disappointment, and so will pleasures prove disappointing without God. Three things I want us to see about pleasures. First, pleasures and their limitation. Second, pleasures and their frustration. And thirdly, pleasures and their termination. Pleasures and their limitation, ang mga kasayahan at ang kanilang limitasyon.
Now, the writer here follows a lifestyle that there was no limit to everything. He had a buying binge, properties. He said, I built myself houses, planted myself vineyards. If you translate it into our time, there was no housing exclusive subdivision that he did not buy a property in. He would have his house in the Corinthian Gardens, certainly in Forbes, Dasma, you name it. He had all the properties that money could buy. Of course, he made sure he owned plantations of every sort, orchard, orchidarium. He made sure that everybody also knew he had a taste for the arts. He said, I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. In other words, there was nothing too much for this man at this point of his exploration. And yet, by this very lavishness and wastefulness, the writer is making a point about its limitation. Sino ba sa atin ang makakalahati man lamang ng kaya niyang gastusin? But you see, that's the point he's trying to make. I have all the means, I have purchasing power that you can only envy, and I purchased everything that could be purchased. And I'm telling you, it's so limited. Pleasures don't really please. His point is that indulging on pleasure is dependent upon spending power, which no one can ever have enough of. But even if, in theory, you can spend everything for pleasures, it will prove to be limited. Who can even have half of what this man is able to spend for his pleasure? But that is just the point. Even if you get all the spending power, it will never buy you enough pleasure. One of the most famous shoppers just had her 80th birthday, last July 2. Imelda. It was said that during her prime, if she visited any shopping mall in America, that mall would close down just to have the whole store for Imelda. A shopper of no match in the world. Was she happy? She had everything that she could spend her hands on. It was said when yung Malacanang ay inabot ng people power, nagsipagtakas na ang mga Marcoses, they saw in Imelda's bathroom perfume of big gallons that she will never be able to use all her life. Kahit na naliligo siya ng pabango, she will never be able to use all her life. And yet, just for the fun of it, she would buy the most expensive jewelries. And of course, the shoes. Yet, was she happy? She spent a life of pleasure. Yet, there was no happiness. It is in the very nature of pleasure that it will never be enough. At best, the novelty may perk you up for a while. After some time, the novelty passes. You try to think of something more pleasurable. Perhaps something more wasteful than before. And then, only to discover the novelty passes as well. Now, let me make myself clear. We do not condemn the quest for fun and innocent entertainment as such. It is part of our humanity. There are those who have no place for fun at all, and they reject the mean spirit into their relations. Ayaw natin ng mga itinatawag na mga dour personality, walang kaligayahan sa buhay, puro trabaho. We don't want that. There is a place for honest fun, for innocent entertainment. Somebody gave me the whole season 7 of 24.
And in 3-4 days, I finished 16 episodes. There's place for honest, fun, innocent entertainment. But then, the philosophy of fun and pleasure behind this picture in our passage is one dictated by purchasing power. Perhaps translated into our day, this man would be a jet-setting lifestyle of the kind that will go from one place to another, go to Paris for his leisure. And yet, what did he get? He certainly got more than you and I can only dream of. And yet the idea that this is fun when you have what it takes to spend is ultimately a lie. The pleasure-oriented life is a lie. It must be challenged. There can be fun and pleasure in the simplicity of one's needs that demand no waste. It is good to have those whose music you enjoy. How much better to have someone who makes you listen to music. It is good to patronize the art of some. Still better to have someone that makes you look at art. And this is what the writer is saying. Later on in chapter 5, he says in verse 10, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. Ask the richest of men." There's Martha Stewart, one of the richest women in America. You think one could take the top and be satisfied? She never was. Until she was caught cheating on stocks and spent time in prison. She had it all. And think of the others who have their millions. Just a few days ago, Greg Madoff was sentenced 150 years to spend the remaining years of his life. After he has been chairman of the NASDAQ in New York, he was on the top. He had clients like Steven Spielberg and the cream of the top among celebrities. And he still had to cheat. A man will never be satisfied with silver. If your orientation in life, if only I had that, I'll be satisfied. It's an errand's fool. The ultimate lie is to think that once you get this or that form of pleasure, you'll be satisfied. Never will. It always proves limited. It always proves you cannot spend for the best pleasure that will be the ultimate. In fact, there is no ultimate pleasure. Here, what we need to be reminded is that there is beauty in simple pleasures that cannot be matched by the grossest forms of spending. And this is where we need to discover this truth. Joy is not the same as pleasure. Listen to him. After saying he will have silver, will not be satisfied with silver, he follows that up with a very simple picture. Chapter 5, verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. So there's the laborer. At the end of the day, he rests satisfied that he could call it a day after an honest day's labor, and he sleeps well. Whereas the rich man will not make him sleep over the abundance of his riches. There's joy, the little satisfactions of life. The fact that you could sleep, the fact that you could have a complete day, the fact that you end the day with an honest labor, satisfying, even if without the impending, jet-setting lifestyle of a man of pleasure. Pleasures and their limitation. Secondly, pleasures and their frustration.
Listen to this. Is this the language of a satisfied man? I looked on all the works that my hands had done. He has just described how he has made a buying spree, a buying binge of properties and pleasure properties and singers. And yet, after all that, I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled. Indeed, all was vanity, grasping for the wind, no profit under the sun. He smashed on the very same wall that the others have smashed. Same familiar language, under the sun, vanity, grasping for the wind. Again, it tells us something about pleasures. They are always temporary, stopgap measures that will always carry disappointments. Again, I assert the proper place for legitimate pleasures. It's like leisure feeding. You don't just feed when you're hungry. Hindi ka naman kumakain lang pag gutom ka. May lugar naman sa pagkain, masarap lang kumain. Or you listen to music. Or it's like breathing fresh air. However, there is something wrong when the person spends a big deal of time, of effort, and of indulgence upon pleasure. We all need to exercise realism when it comes to our attitude to temporary pleasures. They are just a stopgap. Sila ay mga pansamantala lamang. Pansamantalang panakip sa mga munti nating mga kabigatan. And there is a proper place for them. But when you hold to them for the happiness of your life, they will disappoint, as they must. And so what is the insight of wisdom that Ecclesiastes discovered in addressing this philosophy of pleasure? This is his insight of wisdom. Listen more to your sorrows than to your pleasures. There is more profit from the sorrows of life than from your pleasures. Listen to him. 7 verses 2 and following. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. So gumagawa siya ng comparison at sinasabi niya yung kapanglawan, mas may karunungan dyan, mas makinig ka. Yung palagi na lang nasa bahay ng kaaliwan, yan man ay sinihan, mall, TV, music, what have you. If it's all fun, that is the dwelling of the fool. Wisdom is in sorrows. Sorrows teach lessons pleasures cannot share. Wisdom will listen to the lessons of sorrows. So commune more with your heart in its time of sorrows. But that precisely is what the pleasure-oriented man has no time to listen to. That's why he runs to amusement and entertainment one after the other, because he cannot bear the sorrow. He cannot bear the solitude. He doesn't want the thought of crying and shedding tears and feeling the burden. He's loathed of that very idea. So off he goes to whatever amusement is available. But no time to commune with sorrow. But that's precisely what you and I need in wisdom. I think it is in this light that we have that observation of Proverbs 14:13, that even in laughter, the heart may sorrow. Oh, we go along the laughter and the normal scene of company. Bantering, joking, laughing. And while there is place for that, the wise man is saying, even as you laugh, even as you go through the normal course of company, listen to your heart in its sorrow. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow. I suspect Ecclesiastes must know this very well, this proverb that he speaks of. He is, after all, we said, a preacher. And when it comes to in the midst of laughter, one may sorrow. Let me tell you, one of the best. To hide in laughter and pleasure the sorrows that may dominate the heart. One of the best are preachers. His calling so requires it. There are times of sorrows that can even challenge a preacher to strive harder. But there are those times when the sorrow just take away every fight left in him. And while a normal person will understandably take a pause, rest, refresh, perhaps take a vacation, not so a preacher. Act normal. That's his calling. Laugh, banter, joke. Go through the normal course of company. So he acts like he could laugh, though the most hideous agony is tearing his soul. He just wishes to God that things would be different, and they're not. And he must still go through what appears normal, even if anything is but normal. C.H. Spurgeon called it the preacher's fainting fits. Those times when he felt like fainting, sometimes in the middle of the pulpit. There have been times when he confessed to himself the last place he ever wanted to be is the pulpit, but the pulpit is waiting and people are waiting. And that's when he learned to commune with his sorrow. When people do not know, he could laugh and go through the normal course of company, but agony tore his soul. But that's wisdom, to listen to your sorrows. Listen when your heart is in burden. That's pleasures and their frustration. And finally, pleasures and their termination. Enjoy pleasure is the policy that this man now sets for himself. But then his conclusion, this also was vanity. You can understand this in the sense of brevity. What it's telling us, brethren, is that death does not exempt the happy man. But even if he is in the midst of happiness, death can visit him. The happiness of pleasure, in other words, can be interrupted by death. Michael Jackson announced just before he died that he would have a final curtain call of a concert tour beginning this month of July. He announced it in England. He was supposed to have a final tour of 50 concerts in line. Didn't even get to begin one. That would have been a very fitting finale to an extraordinary career. Surely his fans would all protest. He deserved one. He deserved a curtain call. Why wasn't it given to him? Well, that's death. Death would not cooperate with a happy man. Why not postpone for a few months? Well, death is unreasonable. There's no sense to its visitation. It comes when you are not supposed to be sad. Woe to the man who is visited by death at the most unexpected and perhaps at the happiest of his times. Death visits. That's probably, I imagine, while he was in the company of a party, Ecclesiastes saw one of his friends just fall down and died, which then created an element of sorrow in what's supposed to be a happy occasion. And there can be many reminders to him that even in the midst of fun, death can visit. And that only reminds us, brethren, do not make pleasure the basis of a happy life. Prefer genuine, even if simple, joy. You cannot make pleasures the source of your happiness, for they are too unreliable. Joy in the New Testament is derived from the favors of God and the favors of the gospel, so that there can be joy amidst the sorrows of life. Count it all joy, James said, when you fall into diverse trials. How could that possible? How could that be possible? Well, for the simple reason that joy means you derive it from the favors of God in the gospel of His Son, so that at the most trying circumstances, one can be unhappy and yet one can have joy. Do you have that? And you young people who probably would be most attracted to pleasures, do you know joy? Happiness may be stirred by pleasures, entertainment, amusements, sports, hobbies. And the world is living in the lie of amusements and pleasures. And they can be very sophisticated. And yet, at the end of it all, disappointing. I come back to the story of Eric Liddell, the 1924 Olympics champion. Yet at a certain point, he decided not to participate when it meant breaking the Sabbath. And when the Prince of Wales urged him in the name of England to join the race, he refused. When he was told, "Are you refusing the future King of England?" his response was, "I am obeying the present King of the world." Well, in the end, his colleague changed places with him, and he ran in another event that was not on the Lord's Day, and ran a record race. Took the gold, and for a very long time, that record was unbroken. Yet, that's not the whole of story. Eric Liddell did not rest on the laurels of his gold medal. His one ambition in life was to be a missionary. And missionary he became to China. And during the height of the Second World War, he spent time in prison. He taught the prisoners how to sing. One of his favorites is song that we just sung in our covenant meeting, "Be Still My Soul, the Lord is on thy side." He died what many would say a miserable death in prison. But Eric Liddell couldn't be happier. It was his ambition in life. Between the fun of the Olympic run and the missionary that he became to China, I am very sure he gloried more in his missionary work. The Chariots of Fire film will tell you it's all about the Olympic run, and it's not true. For him, it was the work of mission, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you, are you living? Are you being stirred by pleasure? 1 Timothy 5:6 warns us of a person who lives in pleasure, yet dead while she lives. And by the same token, there is a life that is not dictated by pleasure, yet one that lives with joy. And this is the challenge to us. A man and a woman of simple joy because of gospel favor, and whatever the place of pleasure may be, he will not build his happiness on pleasures, for they will prove to be limited. They will prove to be frustrating, and they will prove to be terminating at a time that you least expect.
Therefore, let it be joy in the Lord Jesus Christ and not the mere pleasures of life. Let us sing this hymn, Immortal Honors Rest on Jesus' Head. My God, my portion and my living bread, in Him I live. Upon Him cast my care. And He saves from death, destruction, and despair. And that's the ultimate hope, brethren. The real happiness that will carry us through eternity. The honors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo nga kami, Panginoon, na tunay na matuklasan ang kahungkagan ng kasayahan kung ito ang aming aasahan para sa aming buhay. Kung wala ang Diyos, ito'y magiging napakababaw at hindi tunay na kahalili ng totoong kagalakan. Ito ngayon, huwag kaming padaya sa ganitong pag-iisip. Help us, Lord, to discover the limitation in pleasures. But even as the writer of Ecclesiastes describes what he'd been able to do by his riches and spending power, but his very point is indeed that to depend on our ability to spend for pleasure is the ultimate lie. For it will prove never satisfying. For indeed, even silver, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. He who loves abundance will not be satisfied with increase or abundance. And help us, Lord, to realize the lie that is hidden in seeking pleasure as the happiness of life. Instead, may we discover that pleasures have their frustration. Pleasures are always temporary. There are stopgap measures, and whatever place they may have as innocent entertainment, they're not the joy of life. And as an insight of wisdom, may we learn to listen more to our sorrows. May we listen to our hearts in our times of agony, in our times of pain. And though we sometimes hide the pain by going after amusements, this is the way of the mad. Instead, help us, Lord, to listen when our heart is in sorrow and in pain, because that's where wisdom lies. And may we discover that even death does not respect pleasure, that it can visit at the happiest time. It will visit even when one is supposed to first complete something. And grant, therefore, that our readiness will not be in the deceit of fulfilling our pleasures first. Our fulfillment must be in that which is based upon the favors of God in the gospel of His Son. In other words, help us, Lord, to be men and women of joy, not mere happiness, not that which is stirred by amusements and pleasures. But may we have that joy that even without the rewards of an Olympic glory or the fun or the company, our joy is based on the favors we have in Christ. And through this, we can then have our simple joys in life that we can truly appreciate. So we return to you the thanks that we can have joy in Jesus Christ. And may we not be those whose happiness is tied to the deceit of pleasure, but that which is the product of joy in Christ. In Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen.